Are you with Truth News Radio Australia? And it's the 14th of March 2013 in Oceania. If you're listening to us on the other side of the planet, it possibly is not the same date. But we welcome you. We welcome all listeners, wherever you may be. My name's Hereward Fenton, and Truth News Radio is going to be beaming out to you for the next 2 hours, carried live on the Logos Radio Network in Austin, Texas, and Oklahoma City, and a number of other cities around the US, and streaming live on the internet. And I am very open and welcoming today to anyone who would like to call in. I don't have any scheduled guests for the show, and I will be live for the full 2 hours. So it would be a great honour to speak to anyone out there who's been listening to this show for a period of time and would like to have their say. If you've got anything that you particularly even would like to disagree with me on in terms of my coverage, I'm more than welcome to engage with you in debate. I really welcome differing points of view. And one of the things that makes alternative news important and valuable is that it doesn't have the kind of barriers to entry that the giant corporatist mainstream media organizations present. And yet, because of the magic of the internet and the technology that we have, we are able to reach people on a similar level to the large corporatist media organizations. And this is an extraordinary development and achievement of human ingenuity and the yearning for freedom as well that lives within every person, because for most of the history of this planet, people have not been free. People have been subjected to the rigors of mere survival, which in a way is a limit to our freedom. For most of the history of the human race, and over the thousands of years that we've had civilizations, those civilizations have tended to be only empowering a tiny few, a tiny elite, and the majority of people haven't had freedom. What this show represents is that flowering, a renaissance of freedom, of truth. Again, truth being an incredibly important message, an incredibly important element of the soul of humanity. And to understand why truth is important, you've got to look at what is the opposite of that. You've got to look at the lie, look at deception. And you see, yes, deception has been such a curse on the quality of people's life, their happiness, their ability to enjoy. Deception and oppression and abuse all fit together. Truth, freedom, openness, and a flowering of creativity also all go together. It's interesting, isn't it? And I'm not proposing this as a dichotomy between good and evil, but when you look at it, when you simply look at it, you see that there is something going on here. And you don't have to be someone who buys into a particular religious tradition to see that. You can see that there is a force, an energy, a wavelength of light and of truth, and there is a force and energy, a wavelength, which is all about lies, deception, oppression, power. And it's amazing. It's amazing when you actually start to realize that we are engaged in a real struggle that really has meaning. And it's been a long journey for me to actually discover that. And when you discover it, you realize that you actually have to play a role. And actually, that's something that I'd like to make a theme of today's show, is to understand that you actually have a role to play in this unfolding reality. that we live in. You're not merely a spectator. You're not merely someone who sits back and watches television. You are part of it. And ironically, I think that the perception that many people have that they are merely spectators is actually part of a deception. So there's the real condition you're in. There's the deceptions that have been wrought upon us. And one of the deceptions is to believe that we are not players, that we are not actors in this theatre, in this drama. And I'd like to actually focus on questions about what it is that keeps us from realizing and recognizing that we are actors and that we can change it. In fact, we are the only agents that can change it because we are it. Many people on many radio shows and blogs and websites that talk about truth, freedom, conspiracies, and the global elites and the terrible, you know, controlling forces that are reducing people's lives to a slavery and a drone-like existence, do not engage with the question of how do we create our reality on a daily basis. My research into the powers that be, the structures, is that at every level, the people who are oppressing others are no more than cogs in the wheel themselves. And this can go up layer upon layer upon layer, but they are not, the ones who are oppressing you are not themselves free. It's a structure where those who are enslaved are enslaving. And there's a mechanism which seems to be generated here from within this archaic vestige of human civilization to continually recreate this system of oligarchy and control and enslavement and abuse of power. And of course, with that comes the lie, comes the outright deception, always in a continuum. I mean, let's consider speeding fines, something that we've talked about on the show recently. Many of the government fine regimes are completely unfair and puts the average citizen in a position where they will be forced to break the law sooner or later simply by doing normal things. You know, you don't have to be a bad person to break the law. You'll just accidentally, one of these days, you'll be driving down the road and you'll suddenly hit one of these 40 school zones and you'll be doing 60 kilometers an hour, which is pretty slow, right? 40 is practically crawling. And at that point, you may be unlucky enough to have a policeman sitting there hiding behind a tree with his radar gun, and bam, you're caught, right? And you're hit with a $200 fine. Well, this could have happened at any time. It's just that you sooner or later, it will happen to you. And you've got to wonder, well, why does such an unjust system take place? Because surely it's going to affect everyone, is it? Well, what I think actually goes on is that within this system of layers, of concentric layers of control, those who are in a position of enforcing these types of abuse, domination upon others, they tend to be exempt. They're not exempt from everything. They're not exempt at all levels. They, of course, have other forces impinging upon them, but they tend to be exempt from the same injustice that they are inflicting upon you. So police don't tend to get picked up for speeding fines, do they? And I would also suggest that the legislative people, personnel that are involved in putting these statutes through our legal system, you know what? I bet they don't get pulled up for fines very often. Or if they do, I bet they get let off pretty easily. You know, there's a system that we have in place where you can write a letter, you can get let off. And I would be pretty sure that those who are involved in drafting these outrageous legislations, which put such an onerous burden upon the average citizen, quite frequently do not have to pay the price. I mean, it should affect everyone equally, right? So, and with particularly with the 40 school zones, which change at different hours of the day, it would be it's so easy to get caught. You would think, well, they'll be getting caught as well. But unfortunately, for us, the system is set up so that they typically do not get caught. So that's just one of the things that I want to consider today. And I do actually, hopefully, we'll have a couple of guests calling in during the show. So I'll be talking a little bit about the election of the new Pope. I'll also be talking a little bit about the death of Chavez and who Chavez really was and what he really represents for the world and for South America and where indeed South America is headed. So do stay with us for all of those things. Now, let me just quickly take a look at our Twitter stream here. I've actually got a number of stories that I would like to read through for you, but let's just talk a little bit about the new Pope, since that's actually the latest development that's actually happened on our planet today. Of course, the first Jesuit Pope, and a man who is a Latin American, so two firsts for the papacy. Just reading here from theaustralian.com.au. Argentine Cardinal Jorge Mario Bergoglio, elected to the papacy, takes the name Pope Francis. Argentina's Jorge Mario Bergoglio has been elected, becoming the first Latin American pontiff in a surprise decision that raised the prospect of a more open Catholic Church. Now, we are actually heading to break, so I'll just pause it there. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this short break. Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
Seems to me like they want us to be afraid, man. Maybe we just like being afraid. Maybe we just so used to it at this point that it's just a part of us, part of our culture. Security alert on orange. It's been on orange since 01, G. I mean, what's up, man? Can a brother get yellow, man? Just for like 2 months or something? Goddamn. Sick of that. Mic check. The groove is thick, so I'ma rhyme like a lunatic. I do this shit with an unassuming wit. The corporation conjured up the bass and the tempo. My name is Lift, that's the intro, now let's go. The flow of life throwing strife into the mix, to the pink dark condition.
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. My name's Herewood Fenton, and it is a great pleasure to be talking to you today. And I welcome anyone to call in today who would like to talk about any of the themes that we're discussing. One theme that I'm particularly interested in discussing today is a question about how it is that we are so controlled, how it is that we find it so difficult to challenge authority. There was just so much pressure to conform, and this perception that so many of us have that we are merely spectators, it's just so powerful. And you know, the peer effect when a group is like that is so strong on the individual that it is incredibly hard for the individual to step forward and actually break that meme, break that pattern. And I've got a little video here that I would like to play for you. It was actually recorded by some kids here in Sydney, in Parramatta. And they were – Parramatta is a large regional centre as part of the greater Sydney, in the western suburbs of Sydney in Australia. And these kids were sitting around outside the McDonald's, and the police there were stopping and searching people for no apparent reason. And you know, these kids, good on them. It's, you know, this is what I want to see more, and what I would like to really endorse is that they took it upon themselves to actually start filming the police, and even walked up to the police and asked them what they're doing. Now, most people will not do that. Most people live in fear of the police, and just, you know, they see the police doing some police stuff and they just turn their heads away and walk away. Maybe they stare from a distance. Don't get involved. Everyone thinks, oh, if you get involved, you get in trouble. And indeed, these kids did get in some trouble, and I'm going to play that for you, although they, in the end, it was okay. But this is an example. And why does this happen so rarely? That's what I actually like to consider, because it should be happening at any moment. Whenever you see something that looks like it might be injustice going on, you're entitled to do something about it. You don't have to be violent. You don't have to be abusive. You don't have to do anything that you wouldn't normally do. You don't have to go against your value system. But speaking up, opening your mouth, that's just communication. But what I've noticed in our society is that people don't even want to speak up. They will not even raise their voice about a real problem that affects their lives, serious issues. I've seen it in many contexts in the workplace. I've seen air conditioning systems completely broken in offices. People won't say a word. I've seen systems completely failing, and people don't say to those running the system, like in public transport, you've got to do something about it. They won't even raise their voice. They won't even make a fuss. I've seen this many, many times. So I'm just going to play to you a little clip here from Parramatta, and this is some interactions here with the police.
We can. We'll cut out the audio. We're standing away from you.
Whose bag is this?
My bag.
Yeah, man. What's the
distance? Thank you for my bag.
Is there anything that you shouldn't have in there?
Nothing.
Right, just leave the bag there.
No, no. I do not consent to searches.
You don't have the right to consent to a search.
No, I don't consent to a search.
My name is Constable Bostock from Parramatta Police. Okay?
Hello, Constable Bostock.
I intend to search you.
Why?
Failure to comply with this request, you may be committing an offence. Do you understand?
Recording you is not an offence, officer.
Do you understand? Failure to comply with the search may be an offence.
What have we done wrong?
Filing. Filming you is not illegal, officer.
Take your bag off your back.
Filming you is not...
Take your bag off your back.
Why?
Because I've just told you I intend to search you.
I don't
consent that you're with.
I do not consent to searches without a parent or guardian. Get off me, oi. No.
Put it down.
Oi. Cops, he's touching me, he's squeezing me. And he's hurting me. He's hurting me. What's your name again, Constable Bostock? And look at him. He's done nothing wrong, and they're touching that to him. I'm standing back. Look at that. Oh, my God. Oh, my fucking God.
Okay, I'll just leave it there. He did use a bad word there, and I apologize for listeners. But the interaction here continues. And these kids really hadn't done anything wrong at all. There's a little description here from their YouTube channel. It says here... Some information here. Under New South Wales police media policy, police do not have the power to prevent a person from taking photos or filming, or confiscate their photographic or filming equipment, or delete images or recording, or request that they be deleted. And as he says here, Bradley and I were chilling in Parramatta across from the station. Two police officers in a car stopped us and asked us what was in our bags. And then a couple of minutes later, we saw the same cops on foot approaching a random person walking up the street and demanding to search them. Once completed, they went on to search another person, and they were both just casually walking up the street, being harassed by these cops. Brad walked over to the second person being searched and told him that he should start recording it, as is completely illegal. The police noticed I was recording and started asking questions. And then in the video there, what actually happens is the police separate the two kids, and one of them gets thrown up against the wall and gets his head kind of crushed against the wall. And it says here that, Brad was pushed to the wall and they hit his head against a brick wall, leaving him with what doctors said was mild internal bruising and a swollen eye. Now, of course, ladies and gentlemen, this actually does happen. If this type of scenario will occur if you intrude onto police activities. But I'm saying that in all honesty, there are risks, right? If I were to play the rest of that video, you would see the police are getting increasingly aggressive and threatening, and also, I might say, lying, claiming that they have powers that they do not have, giving orders that they do not have the power to give, and generally behaving like a gang, and separating the two people and actually injuring one of them. So there are risks here, but unfortunately, in order to maintain the quality of life that we have, the freedoms that we have in our society, some people have to actually take these risks. Now, of course, on this YouTube channel, some people are saying that these were just little brats and they shouldn't have been interfering with the police and they don't know what they're doing. And, of course, that will happen as well. See, a lot of people will have that knee-jerk reaction and always go to the side of who's in charge. But most people will simply sit back and watch and do absolutely nothing. And even though they might be outraged, even though they might feel and know that it's totally wrong, they'll do nothing and quite often not even take any action. Quite often they'll hardly even talk about it, maybe apart from to one or two other people. I mean, this is a really serious situation that we have. I mean, we have a developing authoritarian, totalitarian style in our society. And we have so little evidence of anyone doing anything to stop it. So when I see something like these two kids basically challenging the police, it actually, that's an example of what you've got to do. They may not be perfect. He shouldn't have obviously used a four-letter word there. But he's doing something. And it's also heartening to know, and I wasn't actually sure until I read this, that indeed it is completely legal to film the police. Because I've certainly been cautious about it when I've seen the police doing things. And I too have been subject to this kind of control paradigm, this sort of meme of not wanting to step out, not wanting to stick your neck out. But guess what? You know, it's okay to film the police. You're not breaking any laws. You'll be annoying them. They'll walk up to you. They'll harass you. Look, they might even physically assault you. It's possible. So I'm not saying it's going to be easy. But you've got to understand that the meme that we're not allowed to do anything, that they have all the power, that we've just got to be spectators and sit there and do nothing, is completely wrong. We'll be right back.
Man is so unjust, children. Yeah, I don't know who to trust. Your worst enemy could be your best friend. And your best friend, your worst enemy. Some will eat and drink.
Welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio. Great to be talking to you today. And if you'd like to call in to the show, you are most welcome. Our call-in numbers are, if you're calling from anywhere in Australia, you can call us on 1-300-153-372. That's a local call anywhere in Australia. And if you're calling from the United States, you can call us on 512-646-1982. And yes, I would be interested to know anyone's opinion about the question about power, about how we oppose power, about how we shake ourselves out of the slumber of silent participation in abuse, in domination, in exploitation, in oppression, the silent participation. Because that's actually going on. It's going on at all levels. It's happening right up within, obviously, the administrative levels of the government. We tend to think of the politicians as being, you know, the bad ones. But, of course, politicians can only function within a giant structure, which is mostly just made up of employees, people who are in jobs. Government is made up of employees. They are not political appointees. And these employees are the ones who make it all happen. And, you know, they create the world. We create the world. So I'd like to, for myself, and I'd like to amplify this, is that once we understand that we create the world, we come out of that meme where we think that we are merely subjects, that there is like these controlling elites that control everything and they sit up there and they make decisions. Well, that's not really the case. There are elitists who are in positions of extreme, you know, privilege, who give themselves the belief that they have powers, but they don't really, you see. Their powers only exist by virtue of the fact that there are all these minions levels and levels and levels below them that are willing to carry out orders. And quite often they're not even direct orders. The people who are running things don't have to manage things on that level. It's all managed for them. It's a corrupt, exploitative system that has to be undermined. And it can only be undermined from below. You can't fix it from above. Those who are on the yoke have to get off the yoke. This is actually the secret to it. Unless people actually start thinking that way, changing their behavior, then we will not see great changes. We will not see great improvements. But we have seen a lot of improvements. Guess what? Because people have been willing to do that. So I know what I'm saying will have a lot of resonance with people. And I know that for myself, for example, it took me many years to get to the point where I was willing to do anything at all. But the first stage was always the hardest, to get over the initial barrier, the initial hump. Once you get over that, it actually becomes a lot easier and you realize you can do things. You also realize how frustrating it can be, how little effect that you have. Indeed, these are all true, and you can have bad experiences, like the kids in that video there who stood up and talked to the police. You can get your head slammed against a wall. It's not going to be all great, but it's not also going to be nearly as bad as you might imagine. And for most people, there won't be any effect at all. See, so many people that I've known, that I've worked with, that I've been in professional situations with, they would not stick their head out 1 millimeter. They would not go to any kind of event, protest. They would not participate in any kind of social action. These people will do absolutely nothing. But I've spoken to many of them. Many of them agree with my analysis of of the lies and the deceptions that we we've been faced with, events like 9/11, the Chappelle Corby story, drugs, overuse of medications, GMOs, abuse of power, police corruption, so many, many things that I've had strong congruence from people that I've worked with professionally on, but they will do absolutely diddly squat. They will not do anything. And, you know, the main reason there is they're afraid. They're afraid that they'll lose some social cachet. Most people who are solid members of the community are paying off a mortgage and they've got a job. And those two things, paying off a mortgage and keeping holding your job down, are incredibly powerful, because the merest destabilization to your job could mean that you can't pay your mortgage. And if you can't pay your mortgage, your whole life falls apart. And so even to basically develop parts of yourself that are disruptive to the status quo would be disruptive also to the smooth function of you in your job. So you don't do anything. You don't want to disrupt it. But it's just a trick. You've been caught. They've been lying to you to keep you that way. Anyway, I know most listeners to this show already know that. But then again, how deeply do you know it? How deeply has it penetrated? Because what I've often found is that I can know things on an intellectual level, but then even for years and years, even though I know them on an intellectual level, they haven't penetrated deep enough for me to actually change my behavior. So that's just something to ponder upon. Now, I'd like to read to you an article by Paul Craig Roberts about Hugo Chavez. Hugo Chavez is seen as a great hero to his people and to many of the people of South America. And when we look at figures like Chavez, you've got to understand what the person really represents, rather than sort of looking at it through the prism of political, socio-political theories or styles such as socialism or capitalism, free market versus big government. Personally, I think all the systems are broken. I don't think any of them work. I don't think capitalism works. I don't think socialism works. I don't really think one is inherently better or worse. As I've said in this show, I tend to lean towards a free market approach, capitalist style approach. But in practice, what capitalism is anything but free. It's actually just corporatism. And however, I also have a lot of understanding for why people think that we need social services, why the community, the government, the collective should support those who are weaker to some extent. I'm not against that either. I'm not against some of the aspects of socialism. But in practice, I'm neither for nor against any of it, because I think it's all broken and full of deception, full of people who are actually saying one thing, doing another thing, pushing an agenda. But every now and then, and of course within that, you have leaders who pop up who become puppets of the power system, people who are simply controlled to be a symbol without any real force, a symbol merely of what people would think a leader should be, but without actually being a leader. Now, I believe Chavez was a real leader and was a real hero. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to read an article here by Paul Craig Roberts, who also has the same view And I think it's a really nicely written article. So we'll be right back after the break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Don't go away. Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. It's great to be with you today. And I do encourage you to check out our website at www.truthnews.com.au. Have a look at our show, have a look at our archives, subscribe to the podcast, and get over to Logos Radio Network, and you'll find links there on our site if you click the Listen Live link. You can check out Logos Radio Network, and you can get the live stream, and you can get their archives. Now, I was just about to read to you from the article there by Paul Craig Roberts, but I do have a caller on the line from Austin, Texas. I've got Ted on the line. Ted, are you there?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. Yeah, look, thanks for calling in. Great to be speaking to you today.
Well, I want to tell you something I heard about the gentleman from Venezuela. I heard he actually traded oil to some of the poor countries in the Caribbean, such as Cuba.
Yes.
Pay some of it off in commodities, such as whatever they could produce, you know, rice, beans, whatever.
Right. Interesting.
And I don't know if that was, I think just the symbolism of that is so powerful, and I'm sure that was what, you know, would enrage all the other oil barons all across the globe, seeing somebody brass enough to do that.
Absolutely.
Another question I want to ask you is, you know, here in Austin, it's South by Southwest, which is a massive music and media conference.
Yeah.
We've always had lots of people from Australia coming up here. And it made me think of Midnight Oil, and I looked up the singer Peter Garrett.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he ever go into politics and make a difference in Australia?
Okay, yeah. Peter Garrett was the front man for Midnight Oil for many years, and the band had a reputation of being very concerned about, you know, social causes, and he quit music and went into politics about 10 years ago, and he is still an MP with the Labor government. To be honest with you, I mean, you've opened an interesting topic there, because Peter Garrett, I used to have a lot of respect for, but unfortunately, he appears, well, to my mind, to have simply fallen into the establishment, very much the establishment groove on politics, and particularly environmentalism. It's just, it's become in this country, Ted, environmentalism has simply become another establishment meme. I don't know how it is in your country and in Texas, but what we've really found is that it's not really about real cutting edge causes that are important to truth, liberty, and justice anymore.
I called in once long a time ago to your show, and I just talked about the trivial items like beer, like Foster's beer, how it mutated into some weird American.
Yeah.
But you asked me about important things, and you asked me about climate change topics in politics here.
Yeah.
I should have told you back then it was the kiss of death And nowadays, it's not much better. No large-scale politician, Republican or Democrat, really talks about any kind of environmental or climate change issues. It's, I mean, they talk about it, but nobody wants to do anything like the lady down there in Australia did, to, you know, really change the rules and make penalties that you have to pay real damages against.
Yeah, and what's so? What's your take on that, Ted? I mean, what do you think about carbon taxes, for example?
I can't see how, from my workings with state government and how inefficient it is and how you can't hold it accountable, I can't see paying a tax to a government, any kind of government agency, and really see it make 100% benefit. Another thing here, though, in Texas, climate change is, we're in a big drought here. And it really is, I mean, things are drying up bad. Okay. In Austin, we have a constant level lake, river dammed up, and it gives us a constant level, you know, river lake, and I think that's where Austin gets a good majority of its water from. But upstream, the lakes higher up the valley, you know, the Highland Lakes, they're going very, very dry. Making that happen, I don't know.
Yeah,
like a lot of Texans have a pickup truck, so.
Sure. I mean, it's interesting that you say that it's not a popular, I guess it's not a vote winner for politicians in your neck of the woods, but at the federal level in the US, it still seems to be a big issue because Obama has referred to it many times, and he's often said that he's, you know, going to try and get these EPA regulations through as a way of enforcing carbon dioxide emissions limitations, even without the sort of legislation that he was originally trying to push through. I mean, what's your take on that?
I don't know much about it, probably like a majority of Americans, and so I couldn't make an intelligent estimate of it. But I just, like I say, I work in state government, and I can just see how laws are passed and things are taken over by private contractors, and there's very little accountability. And again, I can't see how paying the carbon tax thing would really make a difference. I don't know. It'd have to be explained very clearly to everybody, and that's another problem, is a lot of people in America can't even pay attention to things like that. They'll read about it in the newspaper or on the internet, and then a week later it's gone because something else new to catch their attention is on the news or the internet.
Indeed. It's interesting that you work in state government. Now, I mean, did you catch any of what I was saying in the earlier segment? I was sort of trying to talk about the problem of encroaching totalitarianism, authoritarianism in Western countries. It's very advanced here in Australia. People's freedoms being rolled back, and the way in which the government participates in this at all levels. I mean, can I just ask, you know, Ted, what's your feeling about the state of freedom and the freedom of the individual and then I want to sort of ask about, you know, the mechanisms by which that might be eroded. But I mean, firstly, what do you feel about the nature of, like, you as an individual and your freedoms now as compared to the past?
They're probably, in my situation, they're about the same.
Yeah.
Except I feel more afraid when I'm going out into town or whatever. The police state, there's more police in Austin than there used to be, and the attitudes have changed over the years. So
sure,
you really have to, you know, keep your nose clean if you're driving a vehicle in Austin. So it's made me, and in one aspect, that's made me learn how to use public transportation more and walk and ride a bike. But a big thing now in America is the gun thing. I don't know how much of that is driven by the media.
Yeah.
And how much it's real. I don't own a gun, but I certainly would disapprove of the state using their local police or their sheriffs to come search people for guns in their homes. And, you know, that's where this, this whole gun control thing, you have to get it defined down to what's really going to happen. You know, if they pass the law and you don't conform by not just not acting with it or whatever. And but I do feel like things are more, I still have the freedom to do the things I've done in the past, but there's a mental thing going on where I don't feel as free anymore.
Sure.
A lot of that has to do with whatever media you listen to a lot. And, you know, I listen to this radio station a lot. I've listened to your program before and a lot. So,
oh, great. You know,
I'm getting my information from now. And, of course, y'all people are telling me my freedoms are going away. So I'm kind of an echo chamber there with the media in America. You're going to believe what you're told, you know, by whoever's telling it to you.
Absolutely. And do you feel, do you also get the sense that, that we've become this spectator culture where people will stand back and watch abuses take place, but are just incapable of doing anything, that they feel that they are spectators? And do you think that we really need to try and find a way to crack through that if we're actually going to fix a lot of things that are wrong with the abuses of power and the corruption that we do see in government and government organizations and the police? Because people seem to be caught in this feeling that, well, you know, it's not my business to interfere. I'm just the passive observer. I mean, what have you experienced that? Because I've certainly seen it to an incredible degree in my country.
Yeah, I've experienced that in my life before personally. And it takes a little bit of bravery or whatever. A lot of people are in kind of a, not a trance, but adult state, you know, and they would react as you say, well, I don't want to get involved or whatever. A lot of people are under such a burden, you know, time and life restrictions too, with, you know, their responsibilities of job and children and stuff like that. But yeah, people have to get up and go out and participate. I remember I did that during the one of the protests we had for the first during the first Bush regime, for the right when they invaded Iraq, when the populace was really protesting, and I went downtown to the Texas State Capitol protest. And I can remember seeing these two guys just yelling at each other. One was, you know, a liberal and one was a conservative, about who, I'm right, you're wrong, back
right.
and forth. And it was psychologically, you know, it was frightening. If you haven't seen that in person before.
Absolutely.
It freaks you out.
Absolutely. Ted, look, thanks so much for your comments. We're just coming to the end of the hour. It's been great to have you call in today, and welcome you to call any time when I'm doing a live show. I don't always do the shows live, but it's great to have you calling in, and thanks so much for your comments.
All right, thank you for taking my call. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Cheers. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Truth News Radio Australia, and we will be with you for another full hour, so do stay with us. I've got a lot of interesting news topics to cover, and I've got some calls coming in, so stay with us. It's going to be a great show.